Welcome to the Quantum Connection Podcast. We are your hosts, Vanessa and Heather.
Join us as we explore the new quantum health paradigm.
Learn how to reconnect with nature to regain your health and to mitigate the impact of modern living.
As quantum health coaches and classical homeopaths, our mission is to inspire and motivate you on your healing journey.
This is for educational purposes only.
Let's dive into today's show.
Welcome back to the Quantum Connection Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm your host, Vanessa Baldo, and my co-host, Heather Crimson. And today we have a special guest with us. We have Adia Ray. She is a licensed addiction counselor for 6 years, and she's also a fellow graduate of the Applied Quantum Biology Collective. She's an applied quantum biology coach like we are. And we are so excited to have you here, Adia. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw you come on the scene in the quantum world, I thought, oh my God, finally, somebody who's going to focus on addictions. Cause I'm sure that there's people who are in the closet about being in recovery. Can't think of any people off the top of my head, but now you're just bringing all the magic, all the goodness, and what a needed area. I can just say, outing myself here, coming from a family of severe addicts with lots of trauma around that, I just am so grateful for you and your work. So tell us about how you got here.
Well, thank you for saying that, Heather. I recover out loud. So that's what I'll be doing today.
Fabulous.
I'm sorry. What? So you just asked me a question and then I...
How did you get here? Like, tell us about your journey, about, you know, sort of the highlights of what you've been through. And because this is a very unique place, right, that we're in this quantum world that most people are like, what in the heck is that? So how... Yes. Tell us about the highlights for you.
So, well, I'll share pieces of my story, but so how I got to the quantum space is, you know, I'm almost 16 years into recovery, and you know, it's been quite the journey. In my story, I'll share about kind of how I got into just the recovery world, because I didn't even know what the term recovery meant until I was 18 years in recovery. Wow. So the way I got into the quantum space is I had a co-occurring disorder of bulimia nervosa. And so if I wasn't using, my eating disorder was very active. Hmm. So now with that, going into recovery from both of those things, so my drug of no choice was methamphetamines, and my eating disorder, I, you know, see myself as in recovery from both of those things. Once I entered the space of not using, I also stopped my eating disorder behaviors. Mm-hmm. And with no professional guidance, which I don't ever recommend anybody do.
It's hard.
But, that being said, I yo-yo dieted. That just threw me right in. So the way that I stopped my bulimia was I became vegan, because my mindset was, well, if I eat organic food, and I don't even know why I chose to be vegan. I don't even think I knew really what vegan meant. I think I was eating more vegetarian than I was vegan, but either which way, I was vegan, vegetarian, or whatever, because it was like a cool thing to do. And I was like, well, this might be the way I'm supposed to eat. And if I'm eating all this organic food that I pay really good money for, I won't want to throw it up. It'll be nutritious for my body, and I will keep it down, and there'll be no issues, because, you know, something that is unhealthy, processed foods, of course, those were the types of foods that I would binge on when I would have a binge, because I knew that they were coming up anyway. So it didn't really matter what those foods were. So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't eating junk food, is what I would have called it back then. I wouldn't have used the word processed. I didn't really know what that meant. But that just kind of led to health issues for me. I had a lot of hair loss. I remember having a lot of gut issues. I remember having irritable bowel syndrome. I would be really sensitive to certain foods, but I would never call myself allergic to anything. There was always an issue. Like, it was just kind of stressful to eat, because
and you
there
didn't,
was, I just always knew there would be an issue.
You didn't have most of those before you became vegan vegetarian?
No.
Wow, that's so
No,
interesting.
I because when you're with my drug of choice, drug of no choice, however people want to say it, you don't eat. You don't have an appetite.
Right.
So I spent many years, what I was living off of was, I remember drinking a lot of Nestle Quick, like strawberry Nestle Quick from the gas station, because that was easy on my mouth. So when you smoke methamphetamines, your mouth can get really raw depending on the foods that you're chewing, because the act of chewing will scrape out the insides of your mouth. So like normal things that I would eat, like let's say a bowl of cereal, I wouldn't be able to eat a bowl of cereal because it would scrape the insides of my mouth too much. So I was always eating really soft foods, like, or maybe like Jello or something that was just easy to go down, and you don't have an appetite. So nothing's appetizing. So the foods I was eating were just, it was just really like crap food, or maybe like McDonald's hamburger or every once in a while. Like it was pretty bad, but that's all I really remember eating. And eating was never a priority, and it wasn't done very often unless I was in a binge. And then it was whatever food was around. But again, it was always soft food, yeah. Things like ice cream, things that were going to be very soft and easy on my mouth. So, and then from there, that wasn't agreeing with me. So I finally came to, and I was like, well, maybe this is because of the way that I'm eating. Maybe I should incorporate some kind of something else. And I would be talking to the girls that I worked with. And so I ended up welcoming fish and seafood, because I've always loved fish and seafood. And so I was calling myself a pescatarian, and I felt like all fancy, like, this is the way I eat now. This is going to be the answer. And then that led me to other diets, doing things like the Master Cleanse. And I remember I didn't even last a whole 3 days on that. I thought I was going to pass out. That would never recommend that. I just all the things that we do, right? Yep. And so I ended up, it so now I'm, towards the end, the way I found Quantum is I was eating, or I learned how to eat keto. And I thought that was the answer. Right before that, it was Plant Paradox. And then that led me into the carnivore realm. I heard a lot of people were healing things. And, I always just had this mentality, this underlying belief that I was broken, that I always needed to do some healing. Something needed to be healed. But what I really wanted was the outcome of everything. What's the outcome of most everything? Health, happiness, contentment, peace. So that's what I was looking for through all of these different lenses. And when I was in a different carnivore groups, not all of the groups, but some of them were quite dogmatic. And then I started just to think about, like, is there more than one way? And I started learning slowly about light and other things. So I've followed Sarah Kleiner for a very long time. And so really she was the one who kind of opened my eyes up to some of these things. And then also I was doing some, being coached, and learning a lot about toxins in our environment. So in that, I actually learned how to, the importance of sleep and the importance of blacking out the bedroom and things like that. So I was doing that for many years, and my sleep did get better, but I wasn't wearing blue blockers. I had remembered learning about them, but didn't, I was just like, oh yeah, they'd probably help, but I didn't realize at the time. So that was like very early in my journey. And then once I started realizing about all the outdoor pieces, learning about our mitochondria, learning about health in from the quantum lens, I couldn't unsee. And I thought, and at this time, when I was learning all the details, I wasn't counseling anymore. So I was like, oh my gosh, I would have been implementing all of these things and talking more about all of these things had I known at the time. But I was doing the best, not that I wasn't doing good work. I believe I was a very good counselor, and I've helped hundreds of people, But I would have been sharing more about the blue light toxicity being an issue. And I would have been sharing more about, like, I just remember like teaching grounding, right? Grounding was had a different meaning. It was more about finding peace, maybe if you're in a triggering situation, that kind of thing. It wasn't really about connecting your bare feet to the earth, like how I see it now, like earthing, if you will. And so just little things that I could have incorporated. And I do remember intuitively, if I could, I would want to do my group outside, and we would go outside and do a group. I did as many group activities as I could outside, and I didn't even know what I was doing.
Isn't that interesting?
I just intuitively wanted to be outside.
Your body guides you. Yeah.
Same thing as a teacher, right? We all knew when we take the kids outside to read a story, how much better they sat and behaved and listened. It's the same thing. We know we got them outside playing on the playground. They would be better to listen when they came back inside, right? We kind of intuitively know these things, but we forget, and we don't really connect the pieces of what that's actually doing to their physiology or our physiology, and why we're addicted to the sun, or why we're addicted to nature, or why it feels so much more calm. You know, we don't make those connections. So I love everything you're saying, and I'm making some own connections with my own self as well, which we tend to do, right? But like, there's a very obvious point in your health journey where you are completely like malnourished, right? In so many ways, right? And yeah, we just, that's really important. And that leads to that probably leaky gut syndrome that you were kind of dealing with, or that, you know, the food intolerances. And we all think diet is the answer. I mean, Heather and I have also done literally every diet there is out there. Everyone that you named, I think I've done, maybe not that cleanse, but just about everything else. Right. So it's just like, yeah. I can relate to that. And just how, I want to just say also how proud I am of you for being in recovery, for getting, you know, for doing that. That's a huge accomplishment. So you should be proud of yourself every day, and then like helping others, and then now taking it to this next level where you're like, I didn't know these things. That like, I can see you reflecting, like, I didn't know these things, I could have done better, right? Because I do that too, right? I'm like, oh, as a teacher, I could have done this, or I could have done that, or I could have told them this, but you didn't know these things. So now you know these things, and you're going to spread the word, and you are spreading the message. Your podcast is amazing too, like all these things. So you're just doing awesome. So yeah,
thank you, Vanessa. I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, moving forward, now I know what I know, and I still don't know what I don't know, but I'm constantly taking in information, constantly applying it to how it could help people in recovery, whether they're in earlier recovery or whether they're in long-term recovery. So my story really has to do with me having a lot of these health issues in long-term recovery. Like, I was still, I experienced some post-acute withdrawal symptoms very, like, way more than the 2 years. So I talk about a lot of that. So we can define things, or I'll let you kind of lead the way after.
India, what would people need to be on the lookout for, the symptoms of the post-acute withdrawal syndrome? And you're talking about from a substance, no matter what substance, or just specifically certain substances?
Yes. So any substance someone uses for a long time, many people are in addiction for years. It's a primary chronic progressive relapsing disease. So a lot of people have used multiple symptoms or chemicals for a long period of time. And so in our first, you know, when we stop, as soon as we stop using a substance, we have what's called acute withdrawal. Everyone's going to feel those physical symptoms. It depends on what drug you're coming down off of, how long that acute withdrawal will last. But once that is passed, post-acute withdrawal is sobriety-based symptoms. These are abstinent-based symptoms. So just because it's our body coming back online, and it's also our, like, mentally, how do we deal with the world, social situations, now that I can't use substances,
right?
Because it's all about numbing, it's about avoiding, we isolate. You know, people use for lots of different reasons, but the two big reasons, they can all be either categorized under I want to feel good, or I'm in pain.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it. So post-acute withdrawal, when we talk about post-acute withdrawal, that's actually anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. I remember, so I used methamphetamines for 12 years, Okay. And so the post-acute withdrawal symptoms that I experienced, my sleep was very off for many years. And that could definitely be, now that I know other factors why my sleep was off. I'm not blaming it on the recovery piece, but the other one was I'd have full body twitches, not on a constant basis, but full body twitches that would like jerk me awake when I was sleeping. That happened for a good 4 years for me. And I, now that I know what I know and what I've learned from Carrie, is I look back at that and my body was extremely dehydrated. Extremely dehydrated. Mm-hmm. So dehydrated that it was like full body twitches. Because she explains when we're twitching, or like when you have like a little eye twitch or whatever, that is very dehydrated area. As soon as I remember her talking about that, and as soon as she was talking about that, I was like, oh my gosh, that, I wonder if that's what my full body twitches were all about. Is I was just simply, you know, I was drinking bulk water, and I probably was drinking, I actually have always struggled with drinking like what they say, the 8 glasses of water a day. And especially in my active use, I wasn't drinking enough water, nor was I eating enough food or giving my body the nutrients that it needed. And you know, in there, I was taking lots of random supplements, things that I thought would help me lose weight. I was always toying with the idea of quitting. I don't need to quit if I can find the magic pill, right? Because it's not like I wanted to stay using for 12 years.
No, of course not. It's never right? the case, ever. Who would choose that, right? So, and I just have to say, like, I'm so profoundly grateful for how you bring to the table this authenticity, and you just destigmatize it all, because there's so much shame around the whole idea of, you know, substance use and addiction and whatnot. And, you know, good people do good, but good drugs, and bad people do bad drugs and all that poor shit. So I'm just really appreciate how you just bring it all out there, and there's no judgment around it at all. Like, you don't shame yourself. And so, because I think that's one of the things that's a central, as you know, struggle that people have with how to untangle themselves from this whole coping strategy, as I call it, is the shame piece. So I just want to point that out, because, you know, I can see that so clearly. You've either done a lot of work, or you've had a lot of support around that. And that's not something that handicaps you like a lot of people, and they don't talk about it. Like, they're not going to come out and talk about it like you do. So just you talking about it in the way that you're doing, which you make it seem like effortless, is going to help so many people who hopefully listen to the podcast, and but people you reach in every avenue that you are immersed in. So so I was just thinking also, India, like the malnutrition and the impact of the substance use and all the things, right? And then you even add in like a high non-native EMF environment and all those other factors, right? Not enough exposure to infrared and red in the sun, full sun spectrum from sunlight. So it's no wonder your body was having these symptoms. And symptoms, like Vanessa and I always say, are just your body's attempt to try to adapt and or heal with what it's given. So yeah, so I bet you've had so many like those light bulbs and epiphany moments of like, oh, that's what was happening. And oh, that's, yeah, listening to people like Carrie Bennett and so forth, and understanding your body at the quantum level, which is what you're telling us.
Yeah, well, definitely wasn't always shame-free. Okay. Definitely it went down my shame spirals. But yeah, okay, so for those, I know that a lot of people are listening that, you know, don't know anything about kind of the culture of methamphetamine use, but, you know, when you use methamphetamines, you get very paranoid. Well, if you're very paranoid, you're not going to typically go out in the daytime. You're not really going to converse with other people that aren't also high with you. You're definitely going to avoid your family. So you're isolating, but not only are you isolating from community, you are isolating at night in your, like, you're a night owl.
Yeah.
And that's putting it lightly, you're an all-nighter, you know? And yeah. So you're avoiding the day. And if you can, that's actually the time that you prefer to sleep, because then you know, you're just sleeping through, waiting through the day, right? If you do go to sleep. At least that was my experience. I was definitely avoiding being outside.
Yeah.
And under lots of blue lights, going to lots of casinos too, especially in the early wee hours in the morning. So that's like blue light crazy, stimulating place to be at the wrong hours of the day.
Right. So you're almost like a shift worker, not to compare it that way, but it kind of was like you're using those things, kind of put your body in the backward circadian rhythm, right? You're doing the opposite of what we needed to be doing. And of course, we all know the power of sunlight. So yeah, it's just amazing. So what are your benefits have you seen, like, in your own health from implementing quantum strategies and stuff like that? Like, what are the benefits that you've seen personally?
Well, I remember wearing, finally getting blue blockers. And I think in the first 2 days, my sleep was better. And wow. I was sleeping in like the blackout, you know, room, but I wasn't really, being that mindful of the first light that I saw when I would wake up. So I, you know, if I had to go into the kitchen, I was still turning on the light, 'cause that piece I didn't know about. And so, yes, I was sleeping in a blackout room, but was I using blue blockers, and did I know like the certain little tweaks that I needed to know? No, I did not. So once I did learn those things, I remember my sleep getting just really on point. So I clearly had sleep issues, but it wasn't affecting me as much. I used to have, just like random pain, I was just like, is this me getting old? Is this arthritis coming on? Like, what is this? I would have random like pains. And though I don't experience those anymore, my gut and my, irritable bowel syndrome and, had very bad gas, all of that. And of course, eating, an ancestral, more local seasonal, diet, which, or I don't even want to call it a diet, that the way that we are meant to eat, filling our body with the nutrient dense foods, huge.
Yeah.
So especially huge, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially so in your freeing. Case. Yeah. Yeah. It's
like
huge.
It makes me very emotional, because I felt like I was just trapped when it came to that. I thought eating was all the whole entire piece. And when I realized the simplicity of it, I mean, I had a lot of shame around that. I was like, man, I was wasting a lot of time. Why wasn't I listening to my body? Why wasn't I just doing things at like nature's the answer? I realized the simplicity that nature always has the answer. And that was just so freeing on so many levels. Not only that piece, but like when I was learning about like the toxins in my environment and just like, I mean, I'm talking about aspects of my entire life, the clothing I wear, the things that I use to clean the house, the just little tiny things, all of those things, like those toxins bioaccumulate in the body. So learning about all those things, every little tiny thing that I would shift was a behavioral change. Mm-hmm. So it happened over years, but I would just, as my health compounded from all the choices that I was making, I was a little bit more free, and then a little bit more free, and then a little bit more free, because I had layers of cross addiction. So cross addiction is just, you know, you quit using your main substance or what have you, and then you have other things that you're addicted to, because your brain is still in that addictive state. Your stop and go button still doesn't work. So you apply it to things. I applied it to things like shopping. I would overspend. I had definitely an addiction to sugar. And those were my two big ones. Those were my two big ones. Mm-hmm. And I would say when I was in my active use, gambling was a problem. But when I became into recovery, it was not an issue. I had no urge to do it, because I think the reason I had an urge to do it is because I was bored in the middle of the night at times. So I would go do that to pass time. So, I remember where I was going. So with my shopping addiction, as I learned how to live more simply, as I learned how to live with nature's rules, it allowed me to be more free, but that led to less consumption of things that I normally would have purchased or felt like I needed. It freed up a lot of time for me. So my journey of recovery is not just a journey of my leaving substance use, but it's a journey of just like leading me to live more by nature's rules and nature's laws. And that has been key for me.
I love that you said that it's like a freedom for you, because I feel that too. And me, it's a freedom from my chronic pain and my chronic symptoms and things like that. So that's a sense of freedom. But some people look at it as restrictive. Oh, you get up at the sunrise every morning. You go to bed early. You wear those blue blockers. You don't go out night partying all night long. They feel like that's restrictive. Some people see that as a restriction. But I see it as, like you, as a freedom to, you know, I live a healthier, more vital, happy life. I mean, and, you know, I guess everybody has an addiction to something, right? Kind of in ways, right? But we're meant to be addicted to the sun, right? And I find myself so addicted to it, like in the best way, like we're out of way. I'm like, I literally like so excited to get up to see the sunrise and be outside. Like, it's almost, it's spiritual to me too, in the same essence. So I'm sure you ladies can totally relate to that. It's like, just like those moments are just, they're incredible. And that's what we're supposed to be addicted to. So Yeah.
It's pretty. You make me think of the phrase or the quote. You don't know that, or if you don't know that you're in prison, like you can't break free out of the prison, right? Mm. So when people are in that mindset of like, oh, that's like, I could never do that, or like it, like we didn't. This way of living doesn't happen overnight. There's always a behavior change. There's always going to be behavior change. And people, you know, they're not resistant to change like how we usually think, but they are resistant to being changed. So we have to really meet people where they're at and what they're ready to change. And they have to realize that there's an issue or problem or what have you on their own.
Yeah.
And when they just like, because I remember like my coach, like she was such a purist and I just looked up to her so much. And I remember when I first met her, I was like, oh my God, there's no way that I could live like this. Like how I would literally need to be a millionaire so I can buy all the things and just start doing it. But I would actually never recommend that for anybody, because if you do have the money to, like, let's say purchase all the things or do all the things you need, and mind you, everyone, most things are free, but I'm just telling you, like, there are shifts we have to make, and we do need to make some purchases to shift from our modern world into a more natural one. Sometimes there are things that need to be purchased. And with that, there also is behavior change with every single one. We cannot just expect to buy something and then our behavior be changed. Mm-hmm. So this slow go, if you will, was exactly what I needed, because I don't think I would be able to teach this also to people with such passion in it unless I went through it myself. And I definitely want people to get to where they are. And, you know, you don't need to be a purist either. You do the best that you can with what you have. And anyway, I think I went off on a little tangent. Sorry.
No, it's a great tangent. And we have to meet people where they're at 100%. And you can't make changes unless you're ready to make changes. And that's the truth of it. A lot of times, like, you can't force it on people. They have to be ready and willing to make the changes for themselves and want to change. And that is such a good point. And it takes time to build this lifestyle, or a lifestyle that's healthy for you and what you feels good for you, because we have to always consider what feels good for you and your body, right? So it takes time to build that, and it doesn't happen overnight. And all three of us are doing that, you know? So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So Andrea, how do you now use this? Like, how do we tie this to, you know, the recovery aspect? How is quantum biology, circadian biology, helping people? How can it help people recover from addiction?
Yeah, so you know, when I was doing like my final certification project, I was really focused on the dopamine piece. We joked in our my the graduate school, the answer to any test question is either dopamine or seek supervision. So I was just really focused on that, and that it does, you know, we are healing that. You know, even with our modern technology, I feel that people who don't have the gene of addiction are, you know, because of our modern world, they can be prone to having addiction tendencies because of the blue light piece. And the thing is like of all of with all like the toxin-free things that I learned, and with all of the quantum health stuff that I learned, I lost my train of thought, but anyway, I'll get back to it, I'm sure. So how we apply this to recover? I was learning about all the I didn't learn about the two hugest to huge toxins, which is non-native VMF and blue light toxicity. So I'm doing my certification final project, right? I'm going through it, and I'm doing all the research about the dopamine, making all these connections, and I'm like, okay, so I need to marry this with like I really need to connect this to recovery. What do we experience in recovery? And you know, I didn't get formal treatment, so post-acute withdrawal syndrome is something I've actually been very passionate about sharing with all my patients, because I didn't know what that was going on with me. I thought it was broken forever. I remember having thoughts in my head, and that those thoughts wouldn't come out of my mouth. I just remember feeling like just broken, and I remember thinking, well, I guess this is just how I am now, and I have to pay the price for partying for so long or whatever. And so that all, you know, all of that shame talk and just being really down on myself. And I think that there are many people just like me. In fact, I know that there are many people just like me, because only 11% of people get treatment. There's a whole 89% of people that don't get treatment. And I think actually the research now is different. But anyway, that was how it was for many of my years. That was the statistic. And so if you're listening to this, and you are thinking back to your early years in recovery, or you're in long-term recovery, or whatever stage you're in, you are going to experience these post-acute withdrawal syndromes, maybe not all of them at the same time, but you're going to experience some of them. And the thing is that they're the same symptoms as blue light toxicity, things like,
Wow.
you know, anxiety, and things like, you know, the melatonin disruption, sleep disturbances, restlessness, memory issues,
Brain
and
fog.
brain fog, trouble concentrating,
Irritability.
circadian rhythm and balance. That whole list, it's the same thing. Those are all pause symptoms, and they're also symptoms of blue light toxicity. So you can gather, as you know, as we observe, because there's very little research on pause, but we can just be make these connections, right? So if we are experiencing pause, and we are scrolling our phone in the middle of the night, or we're on our computer at the wrong times of day, or we're not protecting ourselves from artificial light, we are going to have a real tough time healing those pause. Those pause will, I would only imagine, last longer if we are staying in that environment. And it's so crazy, because we talk about like some really crazy substances that we were putting into our bodies, and now we're talking about light bulbs. Like how they're, you know, it's just like this extreme, but it's so important. In that simple thing, that simple thing of looking at our light environment, it could just be so huge and critical for people in early recovery. And in fact, I have been sharing this information with people and getting some feedback around them incorporating just some simple quantum strategies, and they are improving their sleep. And this is like in less than a 30-day time frame. Like they are having some really miraculous results. You know, I've had some people go all in. They changed all the light bulbs in the house. They got the red light therapy panel. You know, some people do like a lot of the things, but then there are some people who are just simply going out and doing the grounding, going out and getting the morning sunrise. And though they're having just a great experience, and they are lowering their anxiety and their sleep is getting back. You know, I swear I could say like 90% of people that I helped would like every single week they would fill out this form. Right. And it, part of the form was they had to note what pause symptoms they were experiencing. And almost every single time it was sleep was circled, and we would be constantly processing this topic in group. Oh my God. If I only knew what I know now, how we could have like the things that we could have talked about around sleep and getting our sleep back on track. Not that the things that I was sharing were wrong or bad, like they were all good tips and everything and like good things to do. But the light environment is just really, really huge. And that goes back to the term or the saying, you know, we can't get healthy in the environment we got sick in. Well, in recovery, that has two big meanings now in my head. So that has the meaning of, am I going back to a negative environment as far as like my relationships? And also, am I going back into the same light environment or the same non-native EMF saturated environment, blah, blah, blah. So now to me, that has to be explained in two avenues.
Well, because the thing is, as we know, addiction has this foundation of some kind of trauma, in my opinion, and there's an emotional component. So that contributes to inflammation, right? And that's going to affect how the quantum aspect of our body as an electromagnetic organism is going to function. Mm-hmm. So you have that, and then you layer on top of that the environmental things as far as the blue light and all the other things, non-native EMFs. So imagine the amount of inflammation the body is trying to deal with. So you're systematically decreasing the inputs from the environment that contribute to that inflammation. Of course, one of them is through treatment, is helping with relationships. And that's always a big focus with really good treatment centers and whatnot, is dealing with the family issues and family systems and all the things, right? So, but then the gaping hole has been, and obviously the sad thing is that, well, that's out of our scope. Like we can only do so much with diet and lifestyle or whatever. That's how the scope of practices, I think, hinder our ability to have a holistic approach, is that, you know, we're being told that you can't practice out of your scope. But really what we need, like you're doing, Andy, is bringing the whole thing, how do you decrease inflammation is the way that I look at it. What is it that's preventing your system from feeling safe in your body, you know, relaxed, at ease, where you don't need to go out and do these things that are going to be coping strategies to help with whatever inner angst there is, which has an emotional component, which is the same as a physiological component, because they're the same things. We always tend to think of it as something else. So it's all the same. So the beauty of it is when you bring in the quantum piece of the blue light and the earthing and all of that, it's going to help soothe everything, the inflammation in your body, so that things can become less difficult overall, gives you more capacity to, and the internal motivation to want to continue to do these things. Cause that's what has to happen first, is that internal motivation of like, it's okay for me to feel better. I can affect change and have the agency to make small changes behaviorally, like you mentioned, which will help me to have a different experience in life. And then I'm not as drawn to the substances, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, there's a whole layer too of, you know, our belief system, and that's such a huge piece.
Yep.
Because when we're healing that negative self-talk, you know, now that we know what we know about water, like I am very conscious of the words that I'm using. In fact, I don't really like the term recovery, because recovery implies that you are always like doing like this healing. And that's exactly how I always had felt. And I actually, like, I'm in a healthy body. Like I don't have to think constantly that I, like, you know, we're just bombarded with all these, like, you know, you need this, you need that. And it makes us feel like, oh, well, like the other day, My mom was like, Andy, should I do this liver detox? And I'm like, Mom, do you feel like there's something wrong with your liver? What's making you think that you need to do the liver detox? And like, she couldn't answer me. Like, she didn't know. And like, this is just the exact same thing that I would do to myself. I would always think that something was needing. So I identify as a grateful human. I used to identify as a grateful human in recovery. So I never liked saying I'm Andy and I'm an addict. That like I'm not. That's not my in my identity anymore.
Yeah,
Like
I love
I
that.
used to very much identify with that girl, and that girl is gone. She's
I love that.
gone. And even when we say like we should be addicted to the sun, like some people are gonna think, whoa, like does that mean I'm laying in the sun like on a constant basis and like I'm getting sunburned? Because like a lot of people just don't know like the protocol, right? So I don't know how I'm gonna word that, but like I'm careful to say just because of the stigma around the word addiction, because there's a very like healthy way to get sunlight, and like I'm very fair-skinned person, and I don't burn in the sun. I used to burn in the sun because I used to only go out laying out in the sun during UVB. So of course I was burning. I wasn't getting the right signaling to build my solar callus. So once we understand that though, we definitely feel like this just internal need to get our light and the sunlight. It's like the Chanel of lights, whatever you want to call it. It's the cream de la creme. Like it is the best light. No artificial light is close to sunlight. Like, and it's free. All we have to do is step outside or open a window. Even if the sun isn't shining, that was something that like I would get hung up on, like, because I live in the Pacific Northwest and I would be like, well, if I need to get my sunrise and then the sun doesn't rise, but the sun is rising, but it's behind the clouds. It's behind the, you know, but, and I used to also think that I needed to go find it so I could watch it. Like, and so like there was all these things that because with addiction, you have very black and white thinking. And that thinking still to this day, like I have to recognize it. And so when I learn new things, I have to make sure that I'm not thinking in terms of, just like this all or nothing thought process when I'm learning things, because they're like there's a gray area, and it's like we just have to step outside. We're getting the light, even if we can't see the sunrise, and even if it's on a cloudy day, we are getting it. So I just want to make sure I'm sharing that piece right now. But to what you said earlier, Vanessa, you said, you know, we should be addicted to the sun. And yes, we should be addicted to the sun in a healthy way. But you know, that's just our society has stigmatized that word so much. And when we use that word too, if you have a negative connotation around whether you're in recovery or not, around the word addiction, I challenge you to rephrase that, because the words that we tell ourselves, and you know, that imprints on our easy water in our body. So this is also something that I'm going to be sharing about, because there is just so much negative self-talk in addiction recovery, because you still have to go through all, there's just so much healing on so many levels that's to be done. And this is from my own experience and from also clinically what I've observed. There's so much work that we can do, and there's always a quantum connection.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, it's a really good point, you know, so it's beautifully stated.
So we're almost at the end here, and I want to invite you to share, Andia, how you help people, where people can find you. This has been very enlightening information. Again, I just feel like you're such a godsend in bridging that gap between quantum world and then the recovery world, or whatever we're calling it now, because, right? Because I mean, it's a huge epidemic, and I think it's something that we highly underestimate, and it's from whatever substance, you know, whether it's shopping or the behavioral addictions versus substance, whatever, you know, it's all a problem. And because we're not getting people's vitality, we're not getting to enjoy their gifts, we're not getting to, they're not enjoying their lives. So it's just a massive thing. And I am so glad you're here. So how can people find you?
Yes. Well, thank you, Heather. That was beautiful. So people can find me at Andea Ray on pretty much every platform. My name is unique. So it's, I'm the one of the only Andeas. I have seen the name before, but it's pretty rare. So at Andea Ray on all social media platforms. And then my website is also andearay.com. And I'll be like, actually this week I'm recording, starting to record my course, which is called Quantum Recovery Reset. Nice. And it's gonna, help people in all different ways with some of this basic quantum, knowledge so they can apply it to their recovery. And then the quantumpages.com is, also, a website that I have, and it'll all be in one spot very soon. But the Quantum Pages is also a Instagram account that I have. So the Quantum Pages is really, so people don't have to go and search for all of these, you know, things. Like, I don't, if I tell, like, let's say this week I'm going to be sharing about blue blockers, for instance. I don't want people just going on Amazon and putting in blue blocker and just buying any old blue blocker that comes up in the search. I've vetted and talked to every single, if I'm an affiliate of the company, I've talked to the owner of the company and made sure and asked all the questions. And I also try to keep as toxic free as possible. And this is just a kind of a passion project of mine. And I do every single category and I'm still building it. But there's, you know, light, water, magnetism, clothing, there's recommended reading, there's all sorts of things. So it's kind of like a blog in a sense. But that, I think that has been very helpful for people. So they don't have to worry about, you know, finding these things on their own. They can take recommendations. And they can also, I welcome people to always question. That's why the Quantum Pages exists, because I always question. So, and you don't have to trust me. I hope that you trust me, but you can always do the research on your own. That actually empowers you on your recovery journey or your healing journey or any journey that you're on. So I very much appreciate the support. And and people can, of course, email me. It's andearay@outlook.com if they want to connect with me.
Andea.
Awesome. Yep. andearay@outlook.com.
Perfect.
And you also have your podcast that you're doing as well.
Yes. Thank you, Vanessa. My podcast is called Quantum Recovery. And I do truly feel that everyone could benefit from this information, whether you're in recovery or not. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I the episodes are short and sweet, and I'm excited to share all the things. There's so much that I want to share. It's gonna be something that I hope really does serve, because that's what this is all about, is serving and making sure people have the resources that they need, so they don't have to kind of go through the struggle and motions like I had to go through. And also, you know, you both are doing such great work.
Thanks so much for joining today's show.
Well, you
for
are a beautiful
about Heather
resource
and her
support
offerings,
to the community.
See
for
her Instagram
people recovery,
at
people
Heather Crimson,
better
or go to her website
so,
at enlightenedlearning.com.
Follow her and
for more information about
Heather
and
listen
offering,
to the podcast.
Visit
and,
her
yeah,
Instagram.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
@bright_light_wellness and her website at brightlightwellnesscoach.com. See you next week.